it's not unusual for people to feel that their lives would be so much better if they would reach their goals. But time passes by, hours turn into days, turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years, and it just slips by. You think it's just going to be a temporary thing, you're focused on something else, but it ends up being like a whole colossal amount of time. And when you're driving, you have to pay attention to where you're going, otherwise you end up somewhere else, and you need to focus on the road. But in life, to focus on your goal, or where you need to get to, takes a lot of determination. There are all kinds of things that can distract you from where you want to get to. And the question is, how can we have this focus? It seems that focus is the thing that will get us to the goal that we want to achieve. The question is, what can keep us inspired so that we'll actually want to go towards our goal and go step after step and to get to where we're meant to go to? What's something we could do that will allow us to be propelled towards that admirable goal that we wish we could have gone to? We all know, we all feel in ourselves. I mean, I know I feel like, if only I was focused on this tiny little thing I would do every day, then I would be in a whole different place today. But what's the way to get yourself to focus on that tiny little thing when all these distractions come around and pull you away? So we have a very powerful message this week from the mitzvah of counting the Omer. What's the mitzvah of counting the Omer? 9 out of 10 people don't know what an Omer is. So you don't have to be embarrassed and say that you're one of the 9. I'll just tell you what it is. Yeah. And on Passover, a sacrifice was brought in the temple from barley flour. Until the sacrifice was brought, it was forbidden for people to use the new crop of flour, of wheat and barley. And once the sacrifice was brought, it was permitted then to eat from the new crop, new harvest. So this sacrifice was brought with great fanfare. They would select the barley, and they would make sure that it was good, and they would offer it on Passover. And the amount of flour that was used was an amount called an omer. And the Kohen would wave the offering as part of the service, so it's called omer atnufa. The omer means a measurement of barley flour, and the omer atnufa, this offering was waved. Okay. So, go ahead.
I'm just listening.
That's don't worry. Anytime you have something you want to interject, then you'll just wake everybody up. It's a good thing. Anyway, so the Torah says to count every day from the day the Omer was brought until the holiday of Shavuos. Now, the question is, what's the point? What are we really doing when we count these days? What are we accomplishing when we count the days? Days are days. They have 24 hours, and they start, and they finish. What are we achieving when we count the days? So to understand this, to understand a little bit more about where we're coming from. We're coming from the Exodus from Egypt, the redemption. The physical freedom from Egypt was just a result of the spiritual freedom. The Alter Rebbe understands the Exodus from Egypt in Torah Or, a whole different level. What happened when we left Egypt was Hashem revealed Himself to us. Because Hashem revealed Himself to us, that's why we were physically free as well. The revelation of godliness, that the neshama experience, which is absolute redemption, absolute freedom, that resulted in our physical freedom as well. But it wasn't just a physical freedom. That's just a symptom. That's just a consequence of the main redemption, that there was a revelation of godliness, that we saw Hashem. It was such a great revelation that the Torah says, and the Jewish people crossed the Red Sea, a maidservant at the sea saw more than the prophet Ezekiel. Okay, so if that's true, then why is it that God didn't give us the Torah then? Why do we have to wait for 7 weeks to get the Torah? We have this great revelation. We have this great experience. Let's go straight from Passover, and right after Passover should be Shavuos. Right after Passover, we should get the Torah. What's the point of the 7 weeks? So the answer is, imagine if someone gives you a $100 million check, and and you go to pizza station, you want to buy extra, they have different sizes of pizza. So you want to buy the regular size pizza, you want to buy an extra size, extra large, an extra jumbo size, right? But it doesn't make a difference. You can't use this $100 million check to buy the pizza. Even if you wanted to buy a Godzilla sushi, it still wouldn't be the wrong. There would be the wrong currency because it's too big. It's too big. You have to break it down into little pieces in order for it to be valuable to do things with it. It's too big. It's too big. You have to take the check. You have to put it in the bank and take out a couple of dollars, and with that you could buy yourself a piece of pizza. But this is too big. In a similar way, when the Jewish people left Egypt, yes, it was a major revelation. Yes, it was amazing, but it was so amazing that it didn't become part of who we were. Didn't become part of our identity, didn't become part of our feelings and our thoughts and our direction. So, in the same verse that I quoted before from the Talmud, a maidservant on the sea, by the Reed Sea, saw more than the prophet Ezekiel. She did. But she remained a maidservant, and Ezekiel was a prophet. She didn't become the prophet Ezekiel all of a sudden. She remained who she was. Well, let's say even more. The Gemara says in the Torah that the water was a wall for them on both sides. The word wall in Hebrew is spelled without the letter Vav, which means that instead of it meaning wall, it could also mean anger. And the Talmud says that there was a unique dissatisfaction that Hashem had with the Jewish people as they were crossing the Reed Sea. What was this dissatisfaction? Because while we were crossing the Reed Sea, we were carrying with us the Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha. We're crossing the Reed Sea, and we're carrying the idol, thinking the idol is what helped us. So that caused a real anger in heaven. And so it showed the dissonance between what we saw and what we experienced and who we were. And that's the purpose of the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos, is to lift us up, it's to elevate us. And that's why the sacrifice was specifically made out of barley. Unlike most of the sacrifices, except for one other one, the sota offering, barley is considered a animal food. Wheat is considered fit for consumption of a human being, but in the Talmud classifies barley as an animal food. We have two parts of ourselves. We have our neshama, and we have our animal side. Our neshama is nourished by godliness, by holiness, by spirituality. But to nourish and to uplift our animal self, so this is what this time that we're in right now is, in order to elevate our humanness, the more base parts of our character. Each day, we're empowered to elevate another facet of our character. There are 49 days, because there are 49 parts of our character. It's interesting, in all Siddurim, usually the Kabbalistic stuff is like only in special Siddurs, the Kabbalistic Siddurs. And here in every Siddur, it says, after you count the Omer, what do? You say, may it be, or will Hashem, that I should rectify this part of my soul. The first day after counting the Omer, we pray to Hashem to rectify Chesed, Shabbat Chesed, and every day, rectifying another part of our character. So, question is, number one, why are we counting up? When the Jewish people left Egypt, they were counting down, it would seem. They knew that in 7 weeks they were going to get the Torah. They should have counted. We should count if we're echoing what they were doing. We should count down. You have how many days have they left to school?
Good months.
Well, right? Some kids know exactly. There's 30 days and 24 hours and 20 and 50 minutes. And I remember myself. I was looking at my watch. I was listening to the teacher looking at the watch, like hoping, knowing how many days and how many minutes left to school. When you want something to happen, you're going on a vacation to the Bahamas. You're counting on the days to when that vacation happens. So if we're waiting for the Torah to be given, we should be counting down. Why are we counting up? Why does it go day one, day two, day three? It should go day 49, day 48, day 47. Like, you know, when they're counting down for the New Year's. 10, 9, 8, and now it's New Year's. If we're excited about the Torah being given, why are we counting up? Another question is, it's a fascinating thing, no one thinks about it. The time we count to the Omer. How do we count? What was tonight's Omer? What do we say? 24 what?
Days of the Omer.
Why don't we just say the 24th day? The 24th day of the Omer. Why do we say the 24 days of the Omer? Say this, the 24th day. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 24. We don't do that. We say today is 24 days of the Omer. Why are we counting the amount of days as if they're. It's not the 24 days; it's the 24th day. What does that mean? What do we? We're counting days since the Omer was brought. Today's the 24th day since the Omer was brought. Why are we counting 24 days? So, to understand exactly the power of these days, I want to tell you a story. There was a great chassid. His name was Abhil Paracher. Abhil Paracher, he lived at the time of the Alter Rebbe, but he never saw the Alter Rebbe. Very interesting stories how he tried to see the Alter Rebbe. He didn't end up seeing him. Like one story was, for example, he knew the Alter Rebbe was coming to a certain room, and he hid in the room, and he prepared to ask a question to the Alter Rebbe about a certain tractate in Talmud called Erchin. And there's something the divine in this story, that Hashem didn't want this special chassid to see the Alter Rebbe. It was not meant for his soul, whatever. So when the Alter Rebbe came in the room, before he could get out from under the bed, the Alter Rebbe said that the tractate he was learning was about estimating, about the laws of estimation, the laws of different subject. So the Alter Rebbe says, if a young man has a question in Erchin, a question in estimation, he should first evaluate himself. And then he walked out of the room and never saw him. He just fainted and that was it. He didn't see the Alter Rebbe. The Abhil Paracher did see the Mittler Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe passed away in Tafkofayin Gimel, and a year later, in Tafkofayin Dalet, the Mittler Rebbe had moved to Lubavitch, and many Chassidim came to see Mittler Rebbe in Lubavitch on that Shavuos. Many of the prominent Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe came to see Mittler Rebbe. So I want to point out, the Abhil Paracher wasn't just one of the Chassidim. The Tzemach Tzedek said about him, he's half Chassid, half Rebbe. He was a very unique person. When people came to join Chassidim, they would go first to him to have, it was sort of like a boot camp. They came from like Vilna and Shklov and Slavsk, and they had no idea who God was. So he had to tell them, you know, God is kind and merciful and caring. And like, they had some very basic things that they were losing in these big Torah centers, unfortunately. They're doing things the wrong way. So he would teach Chassidim how to absorb Chassidus. And every Shabbos, he would have a whole order of how he would share Torah. He'd teach them a song every week, and two songs every week, and two stories, and they would first sing the song, and then the story. I don't remember the order, but it was a specific order, two songs, two stories, something like that. So one time, he shared the following when he came back to Babroisk after visiting the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe was very different to the Alter Rebbe in the way he shared Torah. The Alter Rebbe, when he shared Torah, was very brief in comparison to the Mittler Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe's Torah compared to the Mittler Rebbe was very brief. Alter Rebbe's Torah was very brief in comparison to the Mittler Rebbe. Okay. Yeah. The Mittler Rebbe, there's a famous story, the Mittler Rebbe, how he once shared Torah, I think it was... The Mittler Rebbe shared Torah literally for, I think one occasion, like 16 hours. 16 hours straight. But his discourse, you're going to see from the books, like so. That's why it's called among Chassidim the Wide River. But he took the teachings of Alter Rebbe that he ultimately delivered in just a brief point and expounded on them in the Wide River. And the Chassidim, you can imagine on Shavuos, the Mittler Rebbe speaks. After he finished speaking, the Chassidim would discuss it. What did he say? And they would review it. They would memorize it. And there was one discourse where he was discussing this mitzvah of counting the Omer and rectifying the character. And he started talking about one of the character traits we're supposed to rectify. The very first character trait we're supposed to rectify. What's the first character trait we're supposed to rectify? Kindness of kindness. And he said, what is kindness of kindness? Is kindness mean to do someone a favor? Kindness of kindness means that why do you do the favor? How do you do the favor? With a geschmack, with a pleasure, with an enjoyment, with a passion. That's kindness of kindness. Doing someone a favor, that's kindness. But kindness of kindness is you do someone a favor and you have a passion, you enjoy doing the favor. The Chassidim, although there was so much Torah that he taught, that was like, wow. And they fabranged about it, and they spoke about it, and they discussed it for hours and days as they were there in Lubavitch. When he came back to Babroisk, that's what he shared. He's talking about this, what it means. And there was one guy who was a bit of a hermit. There were many Torah scholars at the time that were... at a hermit kind of lifestyle where they spent time studying Torah all day long, a little bit of bread and water. And there was one hermit guy in this called a Parush. He was a bit of a hermit kind of guy. And this Parush, he hears a conversation and he is, let's say, he's very chassidically challenged. And he says to the group, guys, you don't know what kindness of kindness is, you're discussing it. I'll tell you what the head of my yeshiva told me what kindness of kindness is. You guys should understand what it is. It's very simple. Someone comes to your door, and they're it's freezing, and it's raining, and the guy comes drenched from head to toe, and you notice that his shoes are all torn. So you go into your closet, and you fetch a broken pair of shoes. You give the guy an old broken pair of shoes. You're not using it anyways. Do me a favor. Give him a broken pair of shoes. That's kindness. That's chesed. What's kindness of kindness? Kindness of kindness is you give him also some nails so you can fix the shoes. So that the shoes you give him will be able to fix. That's kindness of kindness. Needless to say, Rabbi Hillel, you know, his perspective he got from the Mittler Rebbe was so more, far more profound than with this man who was growing up with. So there is a lot of ways of understanding what the character traits that Hashem wants us to embody in these days are. But the bottom line is, Usfartim Lachem. Usfartim comes from the word sapphire. Hashem tells us we're able to, each of us, Lachem, to you personally, individually, every person is supposed to illuminate their character. And that's why, unlike other holidays where there's a set day for the holiday of Shavuos, this holiday has to do with everyone's personal counting. So if you travel from Australia to New York or New York to Australia, your holiday of Shavuos will be a day earlier or a day later than everybody else. Why? Because this time is about you. It's a personal thing. Hashem empowers us to illuminate who we are, to illuminate our character. Okay. The problem is this. There's a big gap between where we want to get to and where we are. And when you want to get to this beautiful place of shiny character or whatever, there's a lot that holds you back. And the frustration you have from being in one place, wanting to be somewhere else. So what do? How do you get there? So the Torah says you should count. What do you have counting? Vitality, what it means is this. You have to count your successes. You have to look at your successes. We're prone to think that our mitzvahs, the mitzvahs we do, just an isolated event. I was successful today and I did someone a favor, but that's not me. Just one isolated event. The Torah says stop and listen inside to who you are. Listen inside to what's going on and value your achievements. Listen to who you are. Listen to what you've achieved. Realize who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. There's a little girl named Dorothy. And Dorothy heard that this department store was giving out these big red balloons. So Dorothy nudged her parents. You got to bring me to the department store. And her parents said no. They said yes. They said no. They pushed. She pushed. They ended up going to the department store on Sunday. She ends up coming out of the department store with a big, beautiful red balloon. She goes in the car. She somehow stuffs the red balloon in the car, those big helium balloons. And she comes home. And she's about to walk in the house. Before she walks in the house, she lets go of the balloon. And her siblings and her parents are like, Dorothy, what happened? How'd that happen? How'd you lose the balloon? She said, I let go of it. You let go? You want that balloon. Why'd you let go of it? She said, I love the balloon. I did. I was crazy about this balloon. But I love Hashem even more. I want to give him the balloon. She let go of the balloon and let the balloon go. So the idea of counting the Omer really is to let go of something that we're really passionate about, that our animal soul is really into. Counting the Omer means that you let go of those things which you're so used to, and there's a big friction in letting go of them. Chesed sheba chesed, you know, it's a big thing. Just starting over there, chesed sheba chesed, not just to do kindness, but to have geshmak in the kindness. It's asking something. So Torah says you got to count up. You got to count your achievements. And this is key in order to be able to be successful at anything, to have focus. In order to be able to focus on everything, you have to realize your achievements. I had this unique experience. I probably shared it with you a few times. But it's worth hearing again. It's something that's really helped me. Some people have this, they're introspective to a fault, me included. And I was once by this bank in Crown Heights, cross street from 770. And I was thinking, you know, I'm only come to Crown Heights not as often as I'd like, a special holy place. There's a guy in front of me in this bank. It's a Bank of America, right? Zohar, across from 770? Bank of America, Mazeh. And Ozocher. Bank of America, I think. This guy's in front of me in the bank. And I said, what did the Rebbe tell you? What did the Rebbe tell you? That's my question. What did the Rebbe tell you? You must have spoken to the Rebbe once. You've been by the Rebbe. Tell me something the Rebbe told you. This guy tells me the following. He tells me he's introspective. And he can't like go away from his mistakes. He can't like stop thinking about them. So he asked the Rebbe for a tikkun, to rectify some big mistake that he made. and maybe many mistakes, the Rebbe said to him, don't think about rectifying your mistakes. There'll be a time for that. Instead, the Rebbe said, try to make your tonight better than your today, your tomorrow better than your today. Try to make the afternoon better than the morning. That's the guidance Rebbe gave him, which is such a powerful thing for someone who's introspective, because you're always like measuring yourself if you're introspective. And Rebbe taught him how to use that, his tendency, to use it in a good way. Okay, you that wasn't good. Let's see you outdo yourself now. Let's make this better. Let's make this shine. And that's also the idea of counting the Omer. Counting the Omer means you look at what you did today and you say, yeah, I did something. And I'm going to make tomorrow. And it's connected. Whatever you achieved yesterday, you build on that today. And that's why we count 2 days of the Omer. We don't say day two of the Omer. We say 2 days of the Omer. Because whatever you did yesterday stays with you and it fuels your today. And this is something which is not just related to the Omer, it's related to our whole presence in this world. The Torah says, Yimeshen and Seidim Shushana, our time in this world is 7 years. Just like there's 7 weeks of the Omer, so too the 7 weeks of the Omer represent the 7 different kinds of character traits that we're supposed to rectify. Also, in our lives, in this world, we're heading to the holiday of Shavuos. Spiritually, the holiday of Shavuos represents the coming of Mashiach. So, in history, where are we? We're at the end of the exile. And it's easy to look at our mitzvahs, our davening, our ma'ariv, our krishma, our tefillin, our tzedakah, our Torah. There's isolated things. But the real way to look at it, the correct way to look at it is that we're part of this journey that started when we left Egypt, and we're now about to enter the Eretz Yisrael, and we can see it. All of us have stopped in the last couple of months, since October 7th, since the Kostera, all of us have stopped and looked inside and thought, something is happening in this world. This world, something's going on. And we know that this is the time of Mashiach. So, although, how do we get here? The reason we're here at the time of Mashiach is because of all the mitzvahs that were done throughout history. Every mitzvah does something. All the sacrifice, Rachman al-Tzlan, of the soldiers, every day, Rachman al-Tzlan, should never hear again, of soldiers dying, al-Kiddush Hashem, to protect the Jewish people. It does something. It does something. So the cumulative mitzvahs of all of history has brought us somewhere. We are now at the end of the exile. We're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, really, with Mashiach. What about all the sins? What about all the mistakes? So Rebbe said two things. Number one, sins are not like mitzvahs. Good is not like bad. Good lasts forever. Bad, evil, it can be rectified, can be fixed. First of all, chas v'shalom through pain. We've had too much of that already. Enough to last us to Mashiach, way and more. And number two, through tshuva. But mitzvahs last forever. So we are like a midget, that Rebbe said, like on top of a giant's shoulders. A giant, our grandparents were giants in Torah compared to us. We're nothing. We're negligible compared to them. We're like ants compared to their sagacity, compared to their prayers. We're nothing. But on the other hand, a midget on top of a giant's shoulder can see even farther than the giant. And so the counting the Omer reminds us that every mitzvah that we're doing is heading somewhere. When the Torah says account for 7 weeks, it says actually count 50 days. You don't count 50 days, you count only 49 days. But once you do as much as you can, Hashem gives you the gift of far beyond what you could do. So, bottom line is this. Bottom line is that we have to, on ourselves personally, stop and think and listen to our inside. Just listen to who you are, where you are, will give you the direction of where you need to go. Just, we all have issues, we all have things going on. To stop and breathe and think and count. That's what the mitzvah of the counting Omer is. To stop and count your achievements. To look backwards. Look what you've achieved. That will give you the excitement to go further. And not to be frustrated because you haven't reached your goal. No, look at what you've achieved today. You just go after the big, big goal. You never do anything. You have to look at one tiny little post on the way to your dream. And that's and cherish that. That will give you the impetus to make another step until you get to come to the real goal, which is the goal of all the Jewish people. We're all pieces in this big puzzle of Bias and Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, we'll see that there's that Ma'ariv. There's that coin that's stuck up. There is that person put on tefillin. We're gonna see how it all created something. And L'chaim L'chaim, we should get there. Kvar of Mamish, L'chaim L'chaim Baruch. Any questions or comments?
So why are we counting Kadima? To achieve,
you're counting what you've achieved, and what you've achieved is a cumulative. You achieved 2 days of the Omer. It wasn't just what you achieved yesterday stays with you. You're standing on the shoulders of your yesterday. You have to value we achieved yesterday and oh, I did something. And with that you have to do to tomorrow. So you're counting where you not where you're going only, but also you're counting your achievements. You can't get lost by your mistakes and say, oh, I'm terrible. Torah says, stop and look at what you've done. Look at the light you brought to the world. Look at the people's in your life, you made them smile. Look at the people in your life that you made their eyes shine. Look at the things you've done that's good. And that will give you the highest energy to go to tomorrow. Very good. Excellent. According to Balak Sudeilus and other opinions, it's only a mitzvah of counting the Omer, count all the days of the Omer. I've got to mention. Thank you very much. It's only a mitzvah of counting the Omer if you count all the days of the Omer. Why? What makes it a mitzvah? What makes it a mitzvah is that it's not just this one isolated thing. It's accumulative and it's growing and we're going somewhere. Chaim, Chaim Rav.